You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. We have Ali Moreno, Stevie Nicol and myself, Kay Murray, here with a look back on what happened in the Nations League, the CONCACAF Nations League semi-final between the USA and Jamaica. Game turned out with a very early goal for Jamaica, but then at the death in stoppages, it went to extra time after Jamaica scored an own goal to make it 1-1. In extra time, we saw Gio Reyna twice assist Hadji Wright to give USA the 3-1 win. They've advanced to the final now, and on Sunday, they will meet Mexico there. After the game, we heard from US coach Greg Berhalter and Tyler Adams.
It was literally the last second of the game, right? Maybe 2 seconds more, 3 seconds more. It was unbelievable. You don't really expect all the time to get a goal from those situations, but that's why you prepare. You work hard. You move everybody up in the penalty box and you pray.
So we came in after the game and we weren't celebrating at all. In fact, we were a little bit disappointed because it feels like almost like a loss because we know we can do so much better and we can finish that game within the first 90 minutes of the game. We just lacked that competitive edge from the first minute, but we had that belief until the end, and sometimes you need a little bit of luck to make a run, and that's exactly what we had.
We got the goal right at the end, which is miraculous. You don't often get that. But then to keep going and say, okay, we're not going to penalties. We're winning this thing in regulation, I think is a true testament to the group we have.
Delighted to now welcome in Ian Dark to join the chat. But I do want to start with you, LA, because the U.S. avoided a big disaster last night.
Yeah, and I suppose that I appreciate what Greg Berhalter is trying to tell us, that this is why you work hard. This is why you prepare. No, you got lucky. Look, you got lucky. Let's start with that. You got lucky. This is not about hard work and preparation. Miles Robinson essentially flicks the ball on into a dangerous area, and Curry Burke scores into his own goal. It's an own goal late in the match, in a match that, quite frankly, the United States did not deserve to win up until that point, because while they had a lot of possession of the ball, they were doing nothing with that possession. So it feels like we're having this conversation about the United States men's national team quite often. Whenever we talk about them, at least that's a perception that I have, is that I found myself saying exactly the same things. Very little creativity, very predictable in the attack, nothing really different about their attack, no wide play, no interchange, no dynamic movement, very sleepy performance, arrogant performance from the very beginning. They weren't creating a whole lot of opportunities. There weren't big saves from Andrew Blake, the goalkeeper from Jamaica. And so, in the end, you get fortunate with a known goal. You take advantage of that good fortune and then put the game away, as you should have in the 90 minutes. You put it away in the 120 minutes, and I suppose, and you move on from this and you grow from this. But it is the same conversation. It's the same rhetoric about this team that, quite frankly, they just don't do enough offensively. With all the possession that they have, they don't seem to be really in control of the game offensively. They don't have dynamic movement. They're not explosive in the attack. There's no creativity. They become predictable and becomes easier to defend against a very undermanned Jamaica team, which it's also part of the story here. Jamaica didn't have anywhere near their full squad. We're talking about difference makers. Mikel Antonio not there. Damari Gray not there. Leon Bailey, he is actually suspended from the Jamaican Federation because he's been running his mouth and he said, you know what, we don't like your behavior, so he's not available either. So this was a very vulnerable Jamaican national team, and yet the United States struggle and struggle and continue to struggle. They were very fortunate that they're able to get to the finals.
I have a feeling, Ale, that your player ratings for the United States are not going to be too favorable.
It's not about favoritism. It's about facts. And it's about performance. And the United States simply did not perform. I don't know where you want me to start here, Kay, but let me just give you sort of the criteria for me. At 5, you simply didn't do something terribly wrong and then didn't do anything exactly right either. So if you're Matt Turner, you gave up a goal, you made a save, so you end up at a 5. And a 5 in this team, let me just say, it's actually a pretty high grade given the performance. Beyond that, I mean, I don't know where I can go in with some sort of positive energy or positive vibe with this team because there wasn't anything to pick from. The back line, Miles Robinson gets a 3 because he did get the flick on header in the own goal. Beyond that, Anthony Robinson was never an option down the left-hand side. Usually it's a guy that gets down the end line and provides a cross, provides some width for this team. That wasn't the case. Joe Scally had to come off at halftime. I don't know exactly that the best solution would have been to put Weston McKennie out there, but apparently that's what Berhalter decided to do. Yunus Musa is not a guy that receives the ball from center backs and then is able to spread play. That's not his game. He's a box-to-box guy. He was asked to do that yesterday and was not very good and very efficient doing it. In fact, was kicking the ball straight out of bounds a couple of times. Tillman gave you some runs out of the midfield, but was largely ineffective. Timothy Weah, I don't know why he came off the field when he did. I actually thought that of all the players that were on the field, he seemed to be the most interested in the performance. As to Christian Pulisic, a very sleepy performance from him. And Balogun, the one play that he had was the layoff to Pulisic, and Pulisic doesn't take it first time. I don't know for what reason. Beyond that, Balogun did not provide this team with a whole lot. The guys that came off the bench made a difference. Gio Reyna made a difference. This team is different when Gio Reyna is on the field. And Haji Wright, who wasn't even supposed to be in this call-up, gets a late call-up, actually takes advantage of the opportunity, comes off the bench, scores a couple of goals, and now Greg Berhalter looks like a genius. The truth of the matter is, as I said at the very beginning, and I'll say it again, he got lucky, they got lucky.
Oh, before those substitutions then, Steve, it all sounds rather uninspiring.
Are you surprised? I don't get surprised anymore when I watch the national team playing a team like Jamaica and not producing a performance. As Ali was talking earlier, it's you're just repeating the same things. And the truth is, Gio Reyna is the only player they have that looks as though he can play a defence-splitting pass to create something. After that, there's nobody. So why do we expect the United States to be demolishing teams like Jamaica all the time? Because they're not good enough to demolish teams. That's the truth. But every time they play a game and every time they produce a performance like this, it's almost like everybody's surprised. But they shouldn't be. They're not good enough. They're not good enough to completely outplay anybody from the start to the first minute to the last minute. They're just not good enough. They have, on paper, some players who've got talent. The likes of Pulisic. But they're not a team that you can expect to turn up and play silky football and beat teams comfortably that they should. They never do it. I don't remember the last time they did it. And again, it shouldn't come as a surprise. They're not good enough.
Well, as the guys mentioned, Gio Reyna was one of the difference makers on the night. When it comes to his season domestically for both Borussia Dortmund and Nottingham Forest, not really been playing that much at all, not featured for either side very much this campaign. After the game, we heard from Berhalter about him, but first, let's hear from Gio Reyna himself.
It's been about 9 months since you came back to the national team, some of that with Greg, some without. What's that process been like?
What do you mean 9 months since I came back?
Wasn't it June that you were?
I was back in the fall, two camps. I was back in October and November, and obviously what happened, but I think both of us are so far past it and just so focused on the group that, it's not even an issue at all anymore, and we're just so far past it.
I think I heard somewhere, read somewhere, why did Gio get called into camp? You guys hear any of that? Anyone? No. Well, I think he showed why he got called in the camp. You know, amazing quality, amazing talent. And for us, it's about supporting him through the difficult times of adapting to the Premier League. But his quality is unquestionable. When you see the plays he made on both the second and third goal. But I think most importantly, the ball he wins, right, and then makes the pass. He has that quality that not many players have, and it's clear that he deserves to play on this team.
Feels almost a bit of irony in this, in that last night, Greg Berhalter needed Gio Reyna after everything that's gone on between them.
I don't know what has gone on with Gio Reyna at Borussia Dortmund, or what went on, what happened, why it didn't work out in the end, whether it's injuries, whatever the case may have been. And I don't know what's going on in Nottingham Forest either. I don't know what his playing time is going to look like. I don't know what his future will be in this club. I do know this. He is different than everybody else in the United States men's national team. And because he has a different outlook on the game, he sees a different picture, he's able to deliver the passes that Stevie was talking about. And he's able to see gaps, much like his dad used to do back in the day. He has that in his game. He has that in his blood. He has that in his heart. He's got that in his soul. It's not something that he has to practice. It's not something that he has to train. It's not something that he has to develop and get better. No, he's got it. He can see the pass and he can deliver the pass. He can see the movement and he can deliver on that movement. He can be a difference maker. And those players around him become better players when he's on the field because he puts them in position where they can be successful. That's all I know. That's within the picture and the structure of the United States men's national team. I don't know about the outside that picture. And I don't know about outside that structure. And I don't know why things don't work anywhere else. But within this structure, he becomes, in my opinion, perhaps the most important player for the United States. And why that is because in his presence will attract attention. And when that attracts attention, it isolates Christian Pulisic, where he can now be in 1v1 situations and makes him more dangerous and makes Haji Wright more dangerous and Balogun and Weah and whoever you're playing up top, Ricardo Pepe, or whatever combination you want to choose. Because he's going to attract attention. Once he attracts attention, he can deliver a pass. He can see a different picture. He becomes critically important to the success of this team going forward.
Do you agree with that, Ian?
Yeah. I mean, at his best, Gio Reyna has to be in the starting lineup as the creative catalyst. But he's played 41 minutes so far for Nottingham Forest. The last 3 years of his career have just stalled around the soap opera at the World Cup. We don't really know what the state of play is with all of that. The reason he didn't start the game is because he's probably not match sharp, hasn't played enough. So it's a problem. And I think the United States have got a big problem because this Nations League, they keep on having to play the same teams, the CONCACAF teams. When Jurgen Klinsmann was in charge and he had his critics, but the USA team got prepared for that group of death at the 2014 World Cup with a lot of games in Europe. They won in the Netherlands. They won in Germany. They played Italy and beat them. And they got valuable experience. And they did okay at that 2014 World Cup. What is this preparation for this home World Cup that they're having? Are they going to keep on playing Jamaica, Cuba, Mexico in rotation? It's not going to work.
Not going to work, Stevie.
No, he's not wrong. Well, Ducky's never wrong. Listen, the problem they have is that Gio Reyna, it doesn't look like he's going to be starting for anybody right now. And so, if he has to play, which I believe he has to, because they don't have another option in terms of playing the game we want to see, then what Berhalter has to do is make arrangements around him so that he can concentrate on getting the ball in and around the final third and making these passes we're talking about. Because without him, it's just down to hard work and maybe a little bit of luck. I mean, there's plenty of bigger teams that compensate. I mean, look at Trent Alexander at Liverpool. Do you think Klopp doesn't know that he can't defend? Of course he does. But what he gets from on the other side, he's willing to compensate by asking one of the centre-backs to go a little further out and defend and help out. Why can't the US do that with Reyna? Why don't you compensate for what he can't do in order for him to do what he can do? It seems so obvious to me, but hey, what do I know?
Before we do move on, just to pick up on Greg Berhalter there referencing another media outlet and what they were saying about Gio Reyna. What did you make of that?
Well, it's unnecessary, first of all, from Greg Berhalter. But then again, this is not the first time in which he just kind of runs his mouth unnecessarily just to kind of come across as a smart guy in the room and sort of the cool guy in the room. it's unnecessary. He is the one in the position making the decisions regarding the national team. And until those that want that position getting to that place, then he continues to be that guy. So why don't you just focus on doing that, not having to address what Jesse Marsh or somebody else may have said about you or regarding your call-up in some sort of podcast somewhere? That's unnecessary. See, you're going out of your way to pay attention to the peanut gallery. You're paying attention to those that are outside. Whatever happened to not paying attention to the noise, to keeping the noise outside and just keeping it about your team? You got enough issues with your team and the decisions that you need to make in order to have this team play at a higher level. You were lucky to beat Jamaica. Focus on that. Don't focus on what they said in some podcast, right? Because honestly, how petty can it be? Those guys that are on the outside are always going to say something, but you have to be above that.
Here's the thing. If you've just beaten Brazil 5-0, or England 5-0, or anybody decent, or outplayed them, or when you try and be clever when you're at the top of the tree, because you can. Don't try and be a smart aleck when you've just scraped through in the 90-somethingth minute against a team that was missing half of the starters, and you try to be clever. I mean, seriously. Come on.
So, obviously, a brilliant night for Hadji Wright as well, and we must talk about him because he wasn't even in the squad to begin with. What a week it has been for him. And we're just looking at the comparisons with Josh Sargent, who was hurt, which is why we've got Hadji Wright in the squad. The games between them, he was man of the match in this clash. Remember what he did for Coventry, sending them to the semi-final of the FA Cup as well. So it's been quite a week for him. But let's hear Berhalter calling on Wright to let him know that he'd be in the squad.
You have to shake off the disappointment of not getting selected in the first place. Then you come into the group, and it's always an odd feeling because, you feel like you're a second choice. But, you know, when I called him and told him he wasn't in the team, the message was, listen, you're doing everything right. You can't do anything more, so just be patient. This camp, we opted for this. But when we called him to come in, and I'll share this with you, you know, he was on a plane or getting on a plane to go to Dubai. He had a family vacation planned for the international break. And so I called him and he was like, oh, I'm at the airport and my whole family's here. My agent's already there and my girlfriend's going, she planned the whole thing. And really, this really happened. And so, I mean, what do you do, right? And I said, I can imagine, I go, Hadji, I'm going to give you 10 minutes. I didn't give him a timeline, but I said, let's hang up and just think about it, process it, right? I know it's a lot of information right now for you to handle. I know you got your parents, the bags are packed, and you're at the airport, but just think about it for 10 minutes and give me a call back. And he called me back and he said, I'm in. And when I heard that, you know, it really shows what type of guy he is, what type of character he is.
How did your family go on vacation? Were they watching tonight? Like, did they go on without you, or were they watching tonight?
Yeah, they went on without me. Yeah.
Do you know if they know what happened?
Yeah, my mom texted me, but I don't think anybody else is awake. I think it's like 3 a.m. now, but my mom stayed up and watched.
What was on the pictures of people on the sun and how?
Yeah, they were. Yeah. Jealous of the weather there, but again, I'm happy to be here.
Oh, well, thank goodness he answered the call, LA.
Yeah, and so, again, going back to the last point that Stevie was making in terms of you're trying to portray yourself as being the cool guy in the room, Greg Berhalter, again, you got lucky. He wasn't your first choice. You were not calling Hadji Wright in. Joe Sargent was the first choice. And now you give Hadji Wright a chance, an opportunity, and now I'll shift from Berhalter and whatever his comments were in this press conference to Hadji Wright. And the importance of being willing to check your ego at the door. Because you have to be in that position. And let me tell you, for those of you that may not know, I have been in this position where you're not the first choice striker, where you were left off a group, and then you were given a call late to be part of your national team. And there is a part of you, and it's a big part. It's not a small part. It's a big part to one who wants to tell this coach, you know what? Stuff it. You know what? I don't want any part of it. You didn't want a part of me. I don't want any part of you. There's a big part of you that thinks that way. But you don't have to listen to that part of you. And please don't listen to that part of you. Listen to the part that says, this is an opportunity. This is a chance. This is a moment. It may be my moment. It may be my chance. I may not be first choice, but I'm going to make myself first choice by the performance, by the attitude, by my work rate, by my effort, by my productivity. And that's what Haji Wright did against Jamaica.
Stevie?
I would like to see the Knicks squad if he's in it. Mm. Because if he's not, then the next time he makes the call and he's going on vacation, he will be telling him to stuff it.
Ian's been laughing along with the guys here. What was making you smile there, Ian?
Well, yeah, he's got to pick him, hasn't he now? Haji Wright's done him a favour. Of course, as a professional, it's exactly what he should have done. All you can do, I think, as a pro, and the boys know this better than me, is if you get a chance, take it. Well, he did take the chance, didn't he? Like he took chances for Coventry City, knocking out Wolves in the FA Cup. So it's worth a go, isn't it, with him and Sargent. Going back to Rayner, he's just got to play more, hasn't he? He's not playing enough. They've got to get him fit. They've got to get Tyler Adams fit. They've got to get Weston McKennie really firing. I mean, this was supposed to be a golden generation 2 or 3 years ago, but a lot of those careers have stalled, and I think it is a worry for the USA, though I do give them the credit, at least, for fighting back and finding a way to win that game against Jamaica, even a weakened Jamaica.
But you just mentioned Tyler Adams getting fit. He was obviously subbed in and out of this game. He was not too happy about it, and he is trying to get himself back to full fitness. Both Tyler Adams and Greg Berhalter spoke about the situation after the game.
Tyler was taken off, you know, for what reason? I'm just hoping you could elaborate on that.
So, answer the Tyler question, we had a minute limit on him. And we knew there was a potential that this scenario would arise, and we planned for it, and we took him off when the minute limit expired.
Yeah, I feel great. Could have played 90 minutes if you asked me, but everyone wants to hold me back, so that's that.
Greg said you had a minutes gap, which you sort of, you know, you didn't want to come off.
Yeah.
You sort of understand why, you know, why you did that, how do you feel about it?
Yeah, of course. I mean, you live and you learn, right? I've lived and I learned now since throughout the past year of dealing with injuries and pushing myself. That's just the competitor that I am, of course. But yeah, I'm never happy to get subbed out of a game after getting subbed in. So yeah, I have to deal with it. And then yeah, hopefully I can play a little bit more on Sunday.
You knew what your minutes were.
Yeah, I knew what my minutes were, but when I come in and we're losing and then we're winning the game, then I want to stay on the field. So yeah, it was a smart move long term, and I accept that, but I want to be on the field.
Is this the case here, Stevie, where both are right? Because the manager is obviously giving him the minutes restriction to look after him, but the player is showing that he has the passion and desire to give his all for his country.
Yeah, and you shouldn't and wouldn't expect anything else from Tyler Adams or any other player who's been out for so long. But Berhalter 100% deserves credit because I know they were winning the game when he came out, but at the same time, it's a sticky situation and he knows he can rely on Tyler Adams, but he absolutely did the right thing, got past that and brought him off. It would have been interesting if he had brought him off, though, had they not been winning. That would have been the real tester. But he did take him off. He did do the right thing, and he should be given a pat on the back for that.
You have to protect the player from himself, because there's no chance that any of us in that sort of position, having come on as a substitute, would say, yeah, my minutes are up, can I come off? Nobody's saying that. And so you have to take that position if you're the manager. The only thing that I would say, if I were Berhalter, I'm not giving these explanations and this hug and this thing while the game is going on. Look, I know you're disappointed. We'll talk after the match, and we'll figure it out together. We don't need to have this back and forth as the game is going on. And let me give you a hug here. And understand what the situation is. No. Go sit down. We'll talk after the game is over.
Okay, let's get to the other semi-final, and that was between Mexico and Panama, also in CONCACAF Nations League action. And we'll get you the highlights from this game. We're going to pick it up in the 40th minute. It's a Mexico free kick. It would be when Mexico go ahead through Edson Alvarez.
Yeah, don't pick him up, by the way. I mean, it's a good ball, good header, good goal, but avoidable.
Not long after, it would be 2-0. Julián Quiñones.
Well, it's a little bit of optional defender from Panama. A little touch and tackle as well. Gets Fortuna split in the defenders, ends up being a good finish.
67th minute, long pass here to Pineda.
Yeah, nice touch. This ball bounces lovely for him. Goalkeeper's in no man's land. And in the end, simple decision and a well-executed lob over the goalkeeper.
Hello. Okay, all right, get it.
Shame about the dancing.
So it is, United States against Mexico in the final. Just a look at the recent history. This is going to be the latest instalment. It's a rematch of the first ever CONCACAF Nations League final in 2021 when USA beat Mexico 3-2 after Pulisic's extra time penalty. US seeking a three-peat in the tournament. Obviously beat Canada back in 2023. United States favourites in this clash, Ale.
Huh? What? I'm sorry. You want to repeat that again?
United what? States favourites in this clash.
Right. Why?
Well, I don't. I mean, Mexico haven't been great. That's I suppose that's one reason. Can I just say, and this is beyond the game itself, concerning to see the shape of the field at AT&T Stadium in Dallas, where the ball is bouncing everywhere, because obviously this is grass that has been laid on top of artificial grass. That's usually where the Cowboys play. And this, you can literally see the ball bouncing on the seams that of this grass layout. Now, why do I mention this? Well, why make this reference? But this is a stadium that is going to hold 9 matches in the World Cup. And it's going to be the same sort of setup. They're laying grass on top of an artificial field. I don't know how they're actually going to get this to work, but it has to be much better than what it has been. The other thing I would say is that the good thing for the United States is that at least there's going to be people in the stadium watching them play when they play Mexico. Of course, they're not there to support the United States. They're there to support Mexico. It was embarrassing the lack of support that this U.S. national team got in that first game against Jamaica. This was essentially families and loved ones were watching this game in the stadium. There was nobody else in
the
stadium.
What do you think that's down to?
One, I suppose what the United States will say is that, and the Federation will say is that, well, usually we are in smaller venues, and so therefore the 15, 20,000 people that may have been there at AT&T Stadium looks like a full stadium, whereas at AT&T Stadium, that is 60, 70,000 people, you put 20,000 people in and it's not quite enough, and it looks like there's nobody there. It looked like nobody was there. However, let me just tell you, it was packed for Mexico. So Mexico will do the favor to the United States and pack the stadium for them. As for the final, the United States have to improve quite a bit. They usually tend to do that against Mexico. So I imagine that this is a game that perhaps will get their full attention instead of what we saw against Jamaica, which was a very sort of disinterested performance, certainly in the first 45 minutes. I imagine that the United States will improve. Mexico, I look at them much more as a favorite going into this game, carrying some more momentum given the performance against Panama. And it's about time, I think, for Mexico to turn things around against the United States. I don't see the United States as a favorite, certainly having seen the performance against Jamaica.
So you're picking?
Oh, Mexico.
Right. Ian, who is going to win this final?
Well, USA have home advantage here, and home advantage has been massive for them in games against Mexico, usually 2-0. I'll say that.
Oh, my God, he's going for the dos acero.
Wow. Here we go. Yes, he is. Wow.
Mexico. I wouldn't put a penny on the USA. Why? Have you seen them? When was the last time we watched the USA and thought, this team's going places, this team's doing something, this team creates chances, this team scores goals? What would you put your money on them? I wouldn't put your money on them.
Okay.
Against Mexico, they seem to have something different about them. I don't know why that is. It must be the rivalry. It must be the scenarios that play out in the games against Mexico. The fact that Mexico has the responsibility to carry the game and the United States don't have that responsibility. Mexico will carry most of the possession, and we find the United States going back to something that has worked in the past for them, being more of a counter-attacking team. That suits the United States a little bit better than trying to be a team that is just going to play out of the back and break teams down, which they don't do naturally. And so that's maybe why it sets up favor for the United States. I don't see this as a home field advantage. Not in Dallas, not at AT&T Stadium. I really think momentum is with Mexico right now.
Well, you know who will be back, no doubt, for the next edition of Football Americas is Seb, because he wasn't on the latest. It was Mauricio Hurk and Casey Keller, and you can check that edition out. It is available now to look back on everything that happened in last night's game. Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Just a look at the FIFA men's rankings, international football, with Argentina top, England ahead of Belgium and Brazil, the two teams they're facing in this window in friendly action. Wembley at Saturday night against Brazil coming up. Ian Dark still with us. What are you looking forward to from England here, Ian?
Well, it's getting very close to the European Championships themselves, and I think he knows eight of his starting lineup, I think, for when the tournament starts in June. But I think there are places maybe up for grabs. We don't really know who's going to start on the left of the attack. It's probably one of four players. Who is going to play in midfield with Rice and Bellingham? So that's another thing they need to sort out. Brazil, of course, as we know on this program, have been in a little bit of a hole, haven't they, in that South American group. They're not really the same kind of charisma about Brazil as they have been about editions of that team in the past, the famous five times World Cup winners. So England at home at Wembley, I think we just want to make a little statement, but I don't think Harry Kane is fit for the game. So there may be one or two issues for England as well.
Yeah, definitely. Who would you play in the middle with Rice and Bellingham, Ian?
I think I'd tend to go, you know, with maybe a bit of a left field choice and bring Ross Barkley, who's been terrific this season for Luton Town. We've not got a lot of great central midfield players. I think I'd be tempted maybe to just have a look at him in these two games and see whether his new maturity now, his new energy, his the talent that he's always had now coming out, whether he could flourish in that England midfield three.
Meanwhile, Ale, there's the Brazil side of things. Obviously, they're going to be missing some players here. So we're going to get a look at how they look without some of their key players, including Neymar.
Oh.
Got a loss?
Well, I will tell you this about Brazil. I don't... Currently, where they are in the World Cup qualifying is embarrassing from Brazil's perspective, and certainly historically embarrassing. And I don't doubt that they're going to make the World Cup. But they're going to have to grind, and they're going to have to get results in a very sort of un-Brazil-like style of play. Because this is not an explosive team. This is not a dynamic team. And I'm talking about Brazil here, right? And so I'm talking about the standards to which that they have set for themselves and how they're evaluated. And those standards right now are nowhere near where this team is. This team right now is trying to figure out who they are offensively, what they are through the midfield, how they're going to defend, how they're going to attack wide areas. Long gone, and I mean long gone, are the days of Roberto Carlos on one side and Cafu on the other side. Long gone are those days. Long gone are the days of Ronaldo playing up top. If not Ronaldo, Romario. If not Romario, Bebeto. If not Bebeto, Careca. If not Careca, Zico. Long gone are those days. Long gone are the days of a right back like Carlos Alberto. It's just not happening. Dani Alves, no, it's not there. And so how do they go about being Brazil without being Brazil, without having the player personnel available to be Brazil? And so there has to be a change in the mindset as to how they approach games if indeed this is a team, never mind this game against England, if indeed this is a team that is going to continue to push forward and have enough to get into the World Cup. I imagine that they will. I don't think that should be in question. But now you have a new manager in place. You don't quite have a leadership in place for this team. A lot of young guys. Who's leading this group? A lot of questions for Brazil, not only in the England match, but as they face forward and spin it forward into Copa America and then World Cup qualification. A lot of questions for Brazil to figure out.
Just going back to Ian's point on Ross Barkley, Stevie, your facial reactions looked as though you're not ready to see him raw for the Three Lions.
No, listen, we've all been talking about how Southgate doesn't grab the bull by the horns and tries to go forward. I mean, Ross Barkley, at the end of the day, is having a great season with Luton, but he's just starting things. He starts things off for Luton. You know, he's not threading the needle and creating scoring chances or anything like that. He's getting on the ball and he's starting things off. Well, you've already got somebody to do that. You've got Declan Rice there. That's what he'll be doing. Bellingham will be getting in the box. Why would you not have somebody like Foden in with Bellingham and Declan Rice and take that next step? Instead of the typical Southgate England of, OK, let's score and then we'll just keep it tight and then we'll be solid. And how about you go and play football? Ali's just been talking about the Brazilian greats of old, the way they played the game. Why don't England try and play the game like that? Why don't they try and get on the front foot and not score the first goal, but go and score the second goal and then the third goal? And then you can do what Brazil did. All the showboating and the stepovers and all the other stuff. No, I think Barkley's a step back. I don't think it's a step forward. I think England have to take a step forward now and dominate teams for 90 minutes. And to do that, use the talent you've got in the likes of Foden and not play it safe. Because that's what Barkley would be for me, Darky. Playing it safe.
Well, I think he's a changed player and I think he deserves another go. Let's have a look at him and see how he gets on. I think, what are you going to play, Jordan Henderson in there? I don't think so, really, having played just a few games for Ajax and not won many of them, and he's got a bit of a knock as well. Up front will be interesting, won't it? Because there's a race between Ollie Watkins and Tony of Brentford to be Harry Kane's number two. Most of the smart money's been on Watkins, but I think Tony... Southgate's a bit of a fan of him because he can join in the play as well in the way that Kane can when he plays too, can play and join in attacks from deeper positions as well as get goals. So I think it's interesting. I mean, I hear what you say about Foden, but I think Foden's going to get in the team anyway. Now, I'd say one thing about Phil Foden, and that's this. For all the hype and however gifted he is, I can't remember an England game yet where he's really got the game by the scruff of the neck and shows what he does every week with Manchester City.
Can I come back to that?
Yeah.
Ian, I think that's because of the way England play and where they play him. You know, Foden, when he plays either as a false nine or in that middle, is absolute dynamite when he plays there with Manchester City. He's never been given an opportunity. And I think it's because of the way that Southgate plays the game. He's never been given an opportunity to get in those little holes in and around, in behind the opposition midfield and in front of the back four. That's what I'm talking about, taking a step forward, playing where he's going to get the ball. He doesn't see the ball enough when he plays for England. That's why he doesn't. When you think of Phil Foden with Man City, you think of this guy, mercurial left peg, getting in behind, scoring goals, creating chance. You don't think that with England. In all honesty, you think of Foden and you're like, is he actually, does he feel as though he's one of the first on the team sheet with England? I'm not so sure.
Here's the thing that I think is critical to what you just said there, Stevie. The mindset of England and this playing on the front foot and taking advantage that the talent that you have available, that is elite talent, may just be the difference between England actually winning one of these competitions or just coming close. The willingness to actually take a chance going forward. And taking a chance because you have the players to do so. Not because you're blindly hoping that things are going to happen. No, but because you have elite talent available in critical positions, in key positions in the attack, in dynamic positions in the attack. You have elite talent. Use it. Just free these guys to do what they do. And that may just be the difference between, we're just so close, or actually winning the whole thing. And, maybe just coming home.
Okay. Had to end it there, didn't you?
Maybe it's coming home.
Had to drop that one there. It's not the first time that Stevie's had to talk about this game, actually, because he did so today on ESPN FC Live, which you can check out over on our YouTube channel. A lot going on in the screen there.
Professor Nickel.
There's, like, figurines on the windowsill there. Anyway, go see what else you can spot over on our YouTube channel.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Gavin Jules also caught up with Ben Davies, who talked about his old manager, Michael Laudrup, joining on the sessions.
He was the best player.
Was he?
Like, he was the best player in training by far.
No way.
It was insane. All the players were in awe of him.
But I mean, in terms of technical ability, mm-hmm. and the way you strike a ball, whatever, like, we're not, obviously, I'm assuming he wasn't running because at that age, right?
No, he did. He had a go.
Really?
But relative to the super technical players mm-hmm. you played with later, like, that's not something you would necessarily, you would lose with age. So he would have been, like, whether it's Eriksen or Harry Kane,
one of the best. Like, even now, you could speak to anybody from that Swansea team and they'd probably say the same. Technical ability. Also, how different his style was to, like, the modern game. It was incredible. It was incredible. Possession drills, he was involved in everything. He was doing no-look passes.
You're
he
kidding.
Was, like, flicking it over people's
so
heads.
So you could just see the game before all of you?
It was insane. It was amazing.
Is his brain honestly working faster as well, the technical ability?
Yeah, for sure. Like, let's be real. We were Swansea. You'd just been promoted to the Premier League, but he was at Barcelona. You're playing his special players, but he was one of the greats. And some of the skills he used to pull out.
Really?
People had, you know, you assume that all these skills started with players like Ronaldinho when they started playing this. Laudrup was, I don't know how many years before, but some of the stuff he did was just insane. No one else, I'd not seen anybody else who could do it.
Ah, you're listening intently to that one, Ale. I know that's one of your favourite players.
I love me some Michael Laudrup, and I love me Laudrup all the way back to his days with Juventus, then went to Barcelona and Real Madrid and so on and so forth. And I remember Laudrup from the 1986 World Cup with Denmark and how incredible he was. And how, in a game against Uruguay that, of course, South American interest, they destroyed Uruguay, and Laudrup was in the middle of all of that. I think that the game ended up 6-1 or something like that. And from that moment on, my eyes and my attention were on Michael Laudrup. And I think I look at him as one of those players that I don't think there is a great appreciation as to how outstanding of a player he was. I would even go as far as to say that he is underrated and underappreciated. Michael Laudrup was one of the great players of all time, and we don't talk about him in that sort of level. And he's up there. He was elite. He could just flow with the ball, just dribble at pace, in and out of spaces. He had the pace with the ball. He had creativity to find a pass, 1v1 situations, and then all those touches that Ben Davies is talking about, the technical touches to get little touches to get around people, could see a completely different picture than everybody else. Michael Laudrup was one of a kind.
Stevie.
Well, we had the unfortunate pleasure of playing against him in the 86 World Cup you were talking about.
Yes.
Then the Danes beat us 1-0 and he was playing. I mean, never gave the ball away. Always found space. You couldn't pick him up. You never knew where he was. You couldn't give him half a yard or he would kill you either a pass or a finish. I mean, and I agree with Ali, actually. I don't think when we talk about the greats, he's way down the list for some reason. But you didn't want to play against him. And let me put it that way.
Absolutely brilliant stuff. And great to hear Ben Davies talking about Michael Laudrup there as well. Ian Dark, you must have some really lovely memories of Laudrup yourself.
Yeah, I mean, the boys have said it. He's a fabulous footballer and an underrated one, and one we should be mentioning a lot more when we talk about the elite footballers in history.
All right, so make sure to go check out the latest edition of the Gab and Jules.
His brother was pretty good, but not quite as good.
The Gab and Jules Meets podcast. It is Ben Davies. You can hear a lot more. There's some really great sound bites from Ben Davies. Go check it out wherever you do get your podcasts. More NWSL action this week coming up with Portland Thorns against Gotham FC, ESPN 2 and ESPN Plus on Sunday evening, 7 Eastern with our stellar team. Make sure to catch that game. And that will do it for the latest edition of ESPN FC, but extra time is coming up. Ian Dark is staying up late to answer your questions.
Professional.
Tell us
professional.
Very interesting golf story.
Okay.
Late.
Oh, yeah.
Stick around. Next. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Here in the studio, we have Ale and Stevie, and Ian Dark is joining us as well. And I'm going to tell you what the first question is, but we're going to go to Ian Dark with it because there's some context here.
Okay.
So the first question is for Stevie and Ale. Have you guys ever injured yourself while playing golf? Have a little think about that while Ian Dark tells us his very recent injury playing golf.
Well, I was due to appear on this program on Tuesday, but had to make a late withdrawal because on the afternoon of the program, I decided to go out on the golf course. It was a little bit wet and muddy, I'll put it that way. So I thought I'll play 3 or 4 holes here. So I put the golf ball down, hit quite a good drive, went to hit the second shot with a wood. I made good contact with the ball, but a huge piece of mud flew up into my eye. I mean, we're laughing about it now, but it wasn't funny at all at the time. It stung. My eye was closed. I had to ring the program and make a transatlantic call and give a groveling apology and say there was no way I could appear because I was in a lot of pain and my right eye had closed. But happily, it's mended. But, you know, there's a golf story. I mean, bad enough at the game without injuring myself.
Oh, Ian, well, we're glad to see you doing better. We're glad to have you back here on the show. Guys?
I've got two, right? One, I got injured. One of my days off, I decided just to go to the golf course and play a few holes on my own. And I got onto the 16th, one over the water.
Yeah.
and I would go to get my ball to put it, and the sprinkler came on. And I just, cat-like reflexes, as quick as you like, turned to sprint away. And as I took one step, my calf went. I could hardly walk. I had to go into the clubhouse and go home. I was out of action for about 2 or 3 weeks. Couldn't play.
Did you make it to the clubhouse dry?
Oh, aye. I didn't get wet. I'd rather have got wet than do my calf. I completely did my calf. The other one I told you...
But it's a long way from the clubhouse, by the way, from the 6th.
Oh, I had a buggy. Oh, okay. I had a buggy, right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. Otherwise, I'd still be trying to get back. But the other one, I actually told this on Extra Time a few years ago. Craig and I were golfing at the old place we used to play at. And we're on the green, and as we're putting, getting ready, this bear just sauntered. It wasn't on the green, it was probably about 10, 15 yards on the fairway next to the green. And it comes sauntering along just from nowhere. So him and I start backing up. So we're walking backwards, back up the hill towards the buggies, but we're walking and watching it. And Craig's turned his back to me and the bear. And so the bear goes all the way around the green, so it's now nearly in the woods, because he doesn't know that. So what I did was I started running. So I ran past him shouting, run! And he just started running after me like that. And he's running along, and then I stopped and I went, yeah, it's gone. He's like, ah, what? So the bear had already gone, and he's running away from it like that. Because I went, quick, run! He started running.
Wish you had that on video.
Oh, I wish we'd video. I was killing myself.
I'm on the 14th hole in the club that we play.
Aye.
And I was actually playing really well, and happened to be playing with Craig.
Oh, stop exaggerating.
I happened to be playing really well. Yeah. I was playing well.
I was killing it.
Yeah, for my standard, I was playing well. Look, I'm going to hit my second shot. Hit the shot, and then my back just went. Like, my lower back, and I could just feel it. And when it goes. There is no, that's it. And I usually walk, as you know. I don't catch the card. So now what do? And I'm away, well away from the clubhouse. So Craig, who was driving a cart, says, well, you can take my cart and I'll walk the rest of the way, because I couldn't move. And I said, okay, well, that's great. But I knew that came at a price. It came at a price, because I could only hear from Craig for the next week or whatever, that, well, you know, I had to carry my bag for 3 holes, and, you know, I almost threw my bag because, you know. The good thing is that I was able to make it, but even getting into, I don't know if people realize this or not, but when you throw your bag playing golf, even if you get in the cart, that hurts. And getting out of the cart once you make it back to the clubhouse, like putting your bag into your own car, that's difficult. And I'm like, you know, and there's nobody to help.
I was just going to say, I'm guessing they never helped you either.
No.
Of course he did.
I was like,
of course he never.
I'm bent over with my bag, and I'm just trying. But to be fair to Craig, he did give me his car. It's just that I knew that there was going to be something that came after.
That was the price.
Yes, and he you know, he reminded me of him having to carry my back up the hill.
So he didn't really have your back at all. Ian.
Well, kind of did, so.
Is this England squad with Foden, Saka, Kane and Jude better than the golden midfield era of Beckham, Lampard, Scholes and Gerrard?
Well, not on paper it isn't, no. That team should have done a lot more than it did, but there were so many cliques we now learn about that golden generation team with what Sven-Göran Eriksson had, that they really had no chance of being successful. Not when you look at the talent, it was incredible, really, and they should have picked up some piece of silverware somewhere along the way. But let's see with this team, because Gareth Southgate, okay, he's got his critics. People say he's been too cautious, but he's got England to a final, to a semi-final. The spirit's always good. He's got Kane and Bellingham, two really world-class talents. Maybe Foden will really start to flourish at this tournament. So I think England have got a big chance of winning the Euros. Not saying they're going to do it, because I think 3 or 4 teams have got a big chance. But this team might prove to be rather better than that Beckham, Scholes, Gerrard, Rio Ferdinand one.
Any thoughts on what Ian's just said
there? I think Ian's absolutely spot on paper. that team was fantastic. But we keep, you know, we always talk about it's the pieces of the puzzles. Do they all fit? You know, you think of Giroud, right? Giroud won a World Cup and never scored a goal, but played most of the games because just his piece of the puzzle fit everybody else. So it's not always just about having the best players. It's all the pieces of the puzzle coming together. And that team that had Lampard, Scholes, Gerrard, Beckham. I mean, I would argue that probably the four of them never played in the same team at any one time, which is incredible. Why? You can't play, you leave out one of those guys. So, yeah, the pieces of the puzzle didn't fit.
Quick story time. And it was following some of the lack of success of that team. I was actually at Anfield watching Liverpool and West Ham. And we happened to be in the visitor section, which was quite an experience on its own, being with the West Ham fans. I never quite experienced something like that.
I bet.
Right? But in any case, Gerrard is about to go take a corner kick right next to where this fan section is. And one of the best things I've ever heard in a stadium is this whole West Ham fan base just going, "You let your country down. You let your country down." And it was just like, this is in the middle of Anfield, of course, right? And it didn't quite work for West Ham that day because Fernando Torres was flying that night. But regardless, it was, I think it was reflective of how the rest of English fans felt about how can these guys not make it work? Gerrard, Lampard, so on and so forth. How could it not work? And that's how disappointed the West Ham fans were. And that's the only thing that they had to say that game, because as I said, Liverpool were flying that night.
All England fans remember it well. For Stevie, what do you think about the reports linking Trent to Real Madrid?
I'd have to say I haven't heard that.
Okay, what? Now you're hearing them. Now you're hearing them. How do you feel about them?
Well, I think the fact that Klopp's leaving, it's going to be interesting because, as we've always said, Trent Alexander-Arnold, as a fullback, is a poor defender. There's no getting away from that. I don't care who you support, what team you watch. Trent Alexander is not a good defender, but he's so good going forward that it wouldn't be a surprise if Real Madrid were to offer, I don't know, 60, 70, 80 million for Trent Alexander when you've got a young kid in Conor Bradley who is a miles better defender, but is great going forward, isn't in the same class as Trent. So it depends on the next manager, whether it's a possibility that particular thing could happen.
Well, we actually did have to watch again tonight Liverpool's highlights against Manchester United in the FA Cup. And you'll remember that we showed you some of the footage of Stevie having to watch that in real time last week.
Uh-huh.
It's still hurting. We've decided to put together Stevie's reaction to just a little package we put together of that game tonight. And this is how it all went down here.
Just for you.
Just for you, Stevie. No, just so our viewers can see.
When was this?
This was today, Stevie. Yes. You know, you're wearing the same clothes.
Yeah. Today, we decided to film what we'd seen from you watching it. This is it.
Oh, no, I remember now. That's what I said. Of course, because I said, I'm just taking the daggers out of my heart. It doesn't get any easier to watch, honestly. It's like watching Xhaka. I keep thinking he's going to save that shot for Gerrard. And then I watch the goals again. I think, it's not going to happen this time. It's not going to happen this time. Yeah, it did.
We're just going to keep playing it until you can actually watch it with a straight face.
No, that's an impossibility. We'll be here till...
Now, as you were watching yourself in video, Stevie, you actually asked the question, when was this? We are here with the same clothes, so it must be today.
Well, I didn't understand what you were talking about. And then when I was looking at that monitor over there, I didn't realise that was from earlier. So that's why I was like...
the lips moving.
Well,
well,
actually, as I was doing that, I did lift my right hand and it never moved on the screen. I thought,
this is not where I expected this to go, but here we are.
Well, see, like, look, see, I can see that now. Yeah. But when I was watching it earlier, nothing was moving.
Oh, my goodness.
Like,
When was this?
What?
When was this? Probably earlier today.
Oh, dear. For Stevie, because he's such a good student, start, bench, or drop these school subjects, mathematics, geography, and history.
Wait, here we go.
Oh, well, I tell you what. Mathematics, see you later.
Okay.
Had it been arithmetic, I would have been top of the tree, because I'm good at arithmetic. Geography, yeah, forget that. I've tried that before with Dan, with the Pacific Ocean and all that. Remember that one? So history, I actually enjoy history. I very much enjoy looking at the World War II stuff on the History Channel and such like. So, yeah, history is top of the class. The other two, yeah, you can get rid of them both.
Get rid of them both.
Aye.
All right. Ian, who do you have winning if Anthony Joshua and Tyson Fury boxing match ends up being scheduled in the near future?
Well, don't hold your breath waiting for that to happen, because we've been waiting for about a decade for those two to get in the ring. I think they eventually will. I think you don't know now, because Tyson Fury is getting quite old, but I think he's got a bigger skill set than Joshua, and he'd be my tip to win.
Okay. Yep. Ali, you're agreeing with that?
Yeah. I'm with Ian.
Okay. Yep. Ali, I know you despise the Copa America being hosted here, but are you planning to attend any of the Venezuela games? Or on principle, are you choosing not to attend?
Principle?
I wouldn't decide on principle alone to not support my country. And so if indeed an opportunity arises for me to go and support my national team, I will certainly do that, regardless of the fact that I don't like the idea of Copa America being held out of South America. It just, again, I go back to an argument that I've made time and time again. Imagine if the Euros were not held in Europe. Well, this is what's happening here. Copa America is being held out of South America. It doesn't quite make a whole lot of sense to me. I know exactly why it's happening. It's money. It's a money venture, and everybody's going to enjoy it, and they're going to be packed stadiums, and it's going to be great and amazing and fantastic, and people here in the United States are going to enjoy it, and those that are supporting their national teams are going to love to come here to the United States and spend their time here and their summer here. Great. That doesn't do away with any of the frustrations that this generates for me, that this tournament belongs in South America. But regardless, about supporting my national team, I'll support my national team here, there, and everywhere, because my heart belongs to Venezuela.
Yeah, a little message to the boss there, that if you do want to send him to these games, he'll be happy to go along.
Well, the other thing is that Copa America is going on at the same time that the Euros are going on, so I may be here.
Busy. It's a busy month.
The true professional that I am.
I forgot that.
Yeah?
Well, we didn't. We will be here throughout both tournaments, obviously, and we'll be giving full attention to both tournaments as well.
I certainly hope so.
All right. Kay, as the resident expert on chic footballers, rank these goons based on hairstyle. Stephen, Craigery, and Donald. Craigery, because that's how the Americans say Craig, right? All right.
Is this it, right? Okay.
Oh, to be fair, look at the state of Bali. What a mess.
Just in general.
Now, that's ahead of here.
Stevie, just a reminder, this isn't today.
Yeah, this
one. Oh, is it not? No.
Okay.
Yeah, you got to drop Hutch, haven't you?
Well, let Kay do it.
What's that?
Okay. It's actually the order that we can see on the screen.
Okay.
Stevie, that is a good boy haircut that you've got there going on.
Aye.
Fine head of hair. You are number one. I will start you.
Uh-huh.
I know that this is not what I got asked. Start, bench, or drop.
Okay.
I'll bench Craig. It's not great, but it's still better than this non-effort from Don Hutchison.
What is it?
He's not even trying.
No.
Okay, hold on a second, bud. Hey, sometimes less is more. What is Craig trying to do?
Yeah, but at least he's trying.
Well, I suppose.
That takes some effort to get that colour.
Right.
And maintain it.
Mine's all natural, old ginger.
When did you make the decision to go from what that is to what you now have going on that has been very consistent for the last 25 years that I've known you, Stevie?
Bar that mistake a couple of years ago.
I actually remember the day I got it cut, because a girl came to the house. So a girl used to come to the house in Liverpool and cut illness here. And then I just decided, actually it was Eleanor's. Eleanor said, why don't you change it? I think the short and spike was the style at the time. So I decided to cut the mop off and get short and spike. And it's stayed ever since.
Why didn't you get the perm back in the Liverpool days when everyone else was?
Oh, because it looks so stupid. Some people actually suited, like Graeme Souness, for example, suited it. Kevin Keegan suited it. But then you got Phil Thompson. I mean, you see Tomo. I mean, his was so bad, you never noticed his nose. I mean, Tomo, for those that don't know Tomo, we used to have a joke, right? The joke was, how do you make Phil Thompson's nose 12 inches long? And the answer is, fold it in half. So every day we'd come into training, Tomo would be getting changed, and eventually got cut all the way back. So all you needed to say was, how do you make Tomo's nose 12 inches long? And then that was it. Everybody knew. Everybody started laughing. Every day, somebody threw it at him.
Now, quick question, though. Seriously, you look at Craig in that picture and you say, yeah, that's a look. Huh?
Yeah.
I mean, it's got something about it, isn't it?
What?
I like that you're doing the work for me now. You can take it.
I mean, it's got something about it. Look at it. It's got a bit of shape. It just happens to be a dodgy colour.
And you look at it happens to be on Craig Burley. Yeah,
well, and it is Craig. And if he were smiling, there would be no teeth. So... My bad. I said, if he were smiling. That's my bad. Why would I even bring that up?
You should have known that.
Yeah, I know.
Ian, did you like Craig's hair like that?
I don't remember him ever being bleach blonde, and I can't imagine him ever doing that, but he obviously did. I mean, Don Hutchison there looks like some kind of moody rock star, doesn't he? Like a rebel with a cause.
He did it in the World Cup.
Yeah, the Turkey. World Cup. He's talked about it here before.
I think they were playing Brazil in the World Cup, and the majority of them decided to do it. So, commentator's nightmare. Yeah.
No, well, Stevie, yeah. You win.
Thank you.
All bleach
blonde. Common sense has prevailed. Yeah. Yeah, none of them did it, aye.
Yeah, all right. Well,
to be fair, we shouldn't come to Ian and me for hair advice. I'm just
probably
suggesting. Yeah, I'm just saying. But
Ian's got the bleach blonde look himself.
What?
Yeah.
That's Ian's bleach blonde look.
Yeah. He didn't have to pay for it either.
Yeah. The picture that we showed of Ian in the show, he looked like he was in a sailing competition.
No, he owned the yacht.
Yeah,
on that picture. Those were the days, Ian. All right, that's all we've got time for on the latest edition. Thank you so much for sending in your questions. Thanks for the memories, guys. We'll be back tomorrow to do it all over again.